I'm Michaela Floriano, and have you ever thought about life on the moon? Well, this might shock you, but China has announced the successful sprouting of plants on the moon. Wild, I know. With us to explain more on the importance of this scientific breakthrough is Professor Jonty Horner from the University of Southern Queensland. Jonty, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
That's a pleasure. Good afternoon.
So, first off, what is the scientific importance of growing plants on the moon?
Well, it's part of that whole thing of trying to understand the limits and where things like plants and eventually people can live and thrive and grow. You know, if we think about all the excitement at the minute that we might go back to the moon and that maybe one day we'll have a permanent presence there, you can't really make that work if you've got to ship all your food in from the Earth. You want to be able to grow things on the moon rather than having to send missions every now and again to top up your food supplies. And so in order to do that, we need to figure out if we can actually grow things on the moon. And it's not as straightforward as you might think, because gravity is really important. We just live on the Earth with the gravitational pull from the Earth pulling us down. And that plays a big role in the development of life. And I'm not a biologist, so I can't go into much more detail than that, but it's really important and pivotal. And it's not necessarily obvious that all of those processes, particularly when you're talking about plants growing or you're talking about animals growing, animals being able to reproduce, that those would work under dramatically different conditions like you'd have on the surface of the moon. Even if you made it warm, even if you made it the same atmospheric pressure as Earth with the same things in the air, simply the fact of being at 1/6 gravity might well stymie all our efforts. So we really need to figure out if we can do this.
Yes, definitely. There's a lot of logistic things to work out. Do you see China's innovation on the moon as a positive or a negative thing?
I definitely think it's a positive. I mean, science is a global enterprise. It's not really found by boundaries. We work with people from China, we work with people from the US, and so for scientists involved, I'm sure a lot of them are just thinking about the science. They're not thinking about one-upmanship from nation to nation. But even if you're thinking in those terms, if we want to envision a future where humanity goes out to the cosmos, where we're not just tied to the Earth, the more countries that are investing in that and trying to get out there, the better, as far as I'm concerned. And if it sparks a bit of healthy competition and other countries try and get there too, all the better.
So you think that this innovation is going to push other nations to do more in space?
I have my suspicions that the US, with Donald Trump, wouldn't be quite so enthusiastic about Project Artemis trying to get people back to the moon by 2024 if China wasn't making such great strides. And from the politician's point of view, I can well see that it is a game of one-upmanship and we need to be bigger, better, faster and stronger than them. For the scientists, though, that's just a nice side effect. We really want to just do the science. And for the people who've done this experiment, what an opportunity, what a fantastic experiment to get to be able to do, to send seeds of a number of different plants up onto the moon and just see if any of them would germinate there. You learn so much from such a simple experiment.
Yeah, definitely. So does Australia play any role in space or lunar research?
We're getting there. We've got a very active space research community. And in fact, I last week was at the Australian Space Research Conference, which is where we all get together. And this year we have 50% more people than normal, which reflects the increasing interest in Australia, the establishment of the Australian Space Agency, and the money that has been and is going to be invested over the coming years is really sparking this kind of new space revolution here in Australia. And we're getting more and more involved. We have some of the world's experts on things like rocks from the moon, the lunar impacts that have happened throughout the history of our satellite. And we are getting involved with NASA and its attempts to go back to the moon. That's what the funding that was announced a couple of weeks ago is all about. That funding isn't going to go offshore. It's going to stay here in Australia to try and encourage Australian companies and Australian researchers to work with NASA and to give them the wherewithal that they actually meet the security criteria that NASA have for its overseas collaborators. So we're going to be hearing more and more about this in the coming years, I think, as that kind of funding bears fruit.
Yeah. So with, I guess, all these additional people and a lot of excitement about lunar research, do you think we will see people return to the moon in our lifetimes?
I'd really love to think so. I mean, I'm now the other side of 40 and nobody's walked on the moon in my lifetime. I think that's quite a sad fact. The last person to walk on the moon did it in 1972 and we've not been back since then. The Americans, of course, have stated the intention of getting people back to the moon by 2024. This is Project Artemis, named after Artemis, who was the sister of very short timeline. You know, there's only 4.5 years to go, essentially. And so whether they actually meet that deadline is going to be open for debate. I guess we'll wait and see. But it's an exciting indication that we're finally looking back towards the stars and finally looking outwards again in terms of crewed exploration, in terms of sending people out there.
Yeah. Well, hopefully sometime in our lifetimes we'll see someone on the moon for you and for me. Thank you so much, Professor Jonty, for joining us this afternoon.